This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds, welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast, the podcast that's all about the sights, the sounds, the scenes, and on Tuesdays, the listeners and all the sights, sounds, and scenes that they like to talk about, and questions, comments, critiques, whatever floats your boat. And this week I'm coming a little bit late, a few hours late, because I'm literally recording this Tuesday morning. Because I had such a big day on Monday in my home theater. I got a little distracted, not going to lie. And I was like, you know what? I got to sit down and record the podcast. And I'm like, I'm just having too much fun. So I put out the tweet, said, not going to happen today. I'll do it first thing in the morning. And that's where we are. I will get to that in a little bit because I happened to get a question that pertains to exactly what happened yesterday. So we'll get to that. But first off, thank you to all of my Patreon supporters, everybody over there. No new Patreon supporters this week. That's all right. But if you'd like to join my Patreon supporters in supporting the podcast monetarily, you can go to patreon.com/brightsidehometheater and sign up to make a monthly donation, as little as a dollar or as much as you'd like. Another easy way to do it is in the show notes. There's a link in the show notes or on my website at Brightside. Website is brightsidehometheater.com. And there's a big red button. Click to donate. And again, not necessary, but always appreciated. So thank you to all of my Patreon supporters. Really appreciate it. And also, thank you to all my Twitter followers. You guys help make this show go as well, because I get inspiration from you guys. I get ideas from you guys. And of course, that's how this show happened. The Tuesday's shows, because of the conversations that I'm having there and on YouTube. Thank you to all my YouTube followers. This podcast is audio only, but if you're not following me on YouTube, you can go over there and click. Last time I checked, I was at 399. I haven't checked in a little while. Maybe I've ticked up. Let's see. I'm actually sitting right in front of it right now. My channel. Let's see where we are right now live. Oh, I am at 401. Look at that. I didn't even know it. So we ticked over 400 followers over on YouTube. So thank you to everybody over there. But again, thank you to all of my Twitter followers. And we have four new Twitter followers this week. We have 4K Collective followed. Thank you. And McKaylin Tuttle followed as well, and TM Jr. followed along on Twitter, and also Bobby. That's all it says. Bobby followed you. That's what it says. So I added it to the show notes. So thank you guys for following me along over on Twitter, joining in on the conversation. Always a lot of fun. So let's get to that conversation. First up, This is a bunch of people have hit me up on these, and I've highlighted these comments on Dune. And the biggest proponent, the biggest supporter of IMAX and the home cinema, you know who you are, Carl. Carl has been, he loves his home cinema. He loves going to the cinema, not just home cinema. He loves going to the IMAX. And there's a huge following that you should only see Dune in IMAX or even in the cinema, because if you take it in at home, it's not appropriate. I think I'm going to counter that. All right. So first comment we had, he tweeted out, he said, at Brightside HT, laser IMAX times two and Dolby Cinema at least once. So that's three trips to the cinema. I'm having trouble getting to the cinema, period. All right. And he sent a picture of some Dune. Somebody tweeted this out, and it's a mantra. I must not watch Dune on home cinema. Home cinema is the vibe killer. Home cinema is the little screen that brings total disappointment. I will face the IMAX. I will permit the subwoofer frequencies to pass over me and through me. And when the credits have gone past, I will turn the inner hype towards part two. Where the fear of Dune being unfilmable has gone, there will be nothing. Only awe will remain. All right. Along with that much. See, now here's the problem I have with this. Home cinema is the little screen. I don't have a little screen. It's not as big as when you go to the cinema, but from where I'm sitting, it pretty much is. Okay? So first, that's the other one. The other part is I will permit the subwoofer frequencies to pass over me and through me. I'm sorry, in my cinema, there isn't even the IMAX or Dolby Cinema. It doesn't equal what I have in my house. Or I'm sorry, it may equal it. It doesn't surpass it. So I get it. Most people, and this is why most people should be saying this to most people. You should be telling people you need to take this in at home. I mean, at home, at the cinema and in IMAX. I'm trying to get to the IMAX, believe me. But my local Cineplex doesn't have it in IMAX. It has it in, you know, a nice screen, but it's at the 235, 239 aspect ratio throughout, just like HBO Max. I happened to watch this yesterday on HBO Max with my son, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. Now, streaming, not as good as disc. If I go to my local cinema, my streaming version, I know is better because I've done it with, I did it with Wonder Woman. I did it with Black Widow. And the local Cineplex isn't as good. And it's the Showcase Deluxe Cinema, whatever it is, whatever they call it. But it has Atmos. It has the big screen. It has the fancy seats. It has the whole thing. But it just doesn't have the subwoofers of a Dolby Cinema or even the IMAX. I have that at home. So I'm getting a better experience here than if I made the trek only 20 minutes away to my local cinema. Now, for me to get to the IMAX or a Dolby Cinema, which is over an hour away, it is worth it. It is an upgrade, but it's not as big an upgrade as somebody that just has a regular TV and no subwoofers and stuff like that. But to take this in, what we took in, my son and I was blown away. I think Dune is amazing. I think it's amazing looking. I can't wait for the disc. I actually hope the disc is the variable aspect ratio, similar to Dark Knight, which is what it is in IMAX. Really looking forward to it. Really looking forward to that. Because you could see as the movie's playing out, which scenes are going to be the giant scenes and which scenes are shot in CineScope. Because there's some that look the way that it pans. It looks like it should be CinemaScope. So then you go to these big giant scenes when, I don't want to give anything away, but when stuff happens and you're like, oh, this is going to be amazing in IMAX. Of course, of course. All right, let's move along. We have more on this subject. Steve Ratcliffe at Brightside HD. Just seen Dune at IMAX. This film is going to be a perfect home cinema film if the transfer is good. The sound is amazing. Again, this is we are the demographic that nobody realizes is out there. The people that are like, sorry, my home cinema is as good as going to the cinema. So it's tough and it's fun. Kyle does this all in fun because we do want to go to the cinemas and we do want to have fun there. But at the same time, to say that it's not as good at home to people like us, it's not really a fair comparison. Because most people, if you brought them to your home and showed them what you had, they'd be like, I would never go to the cinema again. And I've had people say that to me. And it's like, I'm like, oh, well, come on. You still got to go. Theo replied to Steve Ratcliffe. I definitely agree. And Rob Vaughn, I'm going to see the IMAX 2D tomorrow, and I've pre-ordered the 3D 4K to rewatch at home. And see, people, they just want to take this stuff in. And Carl, I'll wrap it up with an email he sent just recently on this subject. And it says, the best way to watch movies, can home viewing ruin a blockbuster? and it's an IndieWire article. I'll put the article in the show notes. But he says, yes, nearly zero distractions in the cinema. If any, like an emotion, are positive, purchasing a ticket is also sending a signal that you want more of whatever the genre in that space. And I do agree that purchasing a ticket is a vote to make more movies like this. But I also agree that watching it on HBO Max is also a vote, and it's a vote to put out more movies like this. If all cinemas went away, well, that would be bad, but I don't think that's going to happen. But at the same time, if everybody in the world decides that they want to watch at home, well, then that's the vote. And at the end of the day, it's like, we're the ones that are prepared for either one. So home theater fans, that is. And I'm voting both ways. I go to the movies and I go and I watch it at home. And I mean, my buddy busts me all the time. I saw when this pandemic first hit, Bloodshot had just come out. In the span of like 2 weeks, I bought Bloodshot like six times. I'd been to the, actually more than that, because I'd been to the movies as many times, three times. And then that was the last movie I saw when they shut everything down. And I made sure to get to see it because I knew it was coming out streaming the next week. And it was a very rare opportunity. Bloodshot was the first movie that I could go to the cinema and then come home fairly recently and compare it to my theater. Because up until then, everything had that three-month window. And now it's getting more and more common. Like, I could go and see it in IMAX. I could go see Dune in IMAX and come home and watch it and compare it in my theater. That was unheard of a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. And we're getting a better sense of how good our theaters are, because if you had to wait 3 months, you were like, well, how good was it? You know, I remember it being really good in the theater, but this is really good now. Having that a really quick turnaround gives you a good A-B comparison. And I'm finding that it's even more evidence that my home theater is really, really good compared to a cinema. And his first comment here in this email is nearly zero distractions in the cinema. Carl, I highly, highly disagree. Because in my home cinema, where I'm watching it with me, maybe two other people most of the time, very rarely, I'm usually just by myself. There are zero distractions in my cinema. Guaranteed. Because if you distract me, I'll kick you out. When I go to a cinema, I have to deal with the distractions to get absorbed into the movie. And sometimes people taking their shoes off, sitting next to me, kicking you from the seat behind, people talking, people asking, what did he say? I don't know what happened here. And it makes you get absorbed because you're trying to ignore the distractions. So to say that there's nearly zero distractions in the cinema is absolutely 100% not true, because the distractions are the number one reason people don't want to go to the cinema, is because they know it's the distractions that bother them, whether it's the people or the noises, the kicking, all the stuff I just listed. So I don't have that in my cinema. I don't have that at home. Nothing. I get to sit down in the perfect seat. That could be a distraction. Maybe you got your ticket late and you're sitting a little further away than you'd like to. That's a distraction because you're off to the side. In my home cinema, on my screen, I'm looking at a giant screen sitting in the perfect seat with nobody bothering me. That's the way. It's perfect. So to say zero distractions, that's a tough one. That's a tough one because it's actually just false. So sorry, Carl, I love you, but that is false. All right, let's move along to the rest of the week. All right, Francis Amoko says, Has there been any piece of AV gear or movie that everyone has been raving about you bought and asked yourself, what was the fuss about? Buyer's remorse, if you will. And I was trying to think of it, and I can't really think of anything that off the top of my head other than something recently, and I bought the HD Fury Diva. because I wanted to try and get some tone mapping. I wanted to try to get some, do something. I wanted to use it in a way that what the Panasonic does for movies. And I wanted to do that with Apple TV. And we're going to get into more of that later. But when I got it home, when it's a $500 item. I got it, I install it, and everything about it, they're you can't do that. It doesn't do, what HD Fury does is it, everybody's raving about it, but what it does is it takes 4K and HDR and it brings it down to 1080. But it won't take a 4K HDR image and kind of, I say squelch it. I'm not as good with this stuff as Rob H is over at AV Rant. But basically what it is putting in a better container for a projector. And that's what the Panasonic does with the HDR optimizer. So I was hoping the HD Fury had like the Diva had an HDR optimizer type thing for projectors. So it could compress that image. So you didn't get, I was crushing blacks big time on my Apple TV. It was awful. So shows like Foundation, for instance, crushed the blacks. It was awful. And again, we'll talk about more of this later. But it was very I read all about the Diva. I was very excited to get it. And I got it home and I'm like, this does nothing that I need it to do. But it seems to be, obviously it's a HDMI switcher. It's all this stuff. But I'm like, there's a much cheaper and better ways for me to do that. And I don't need an HDMI switcher. And it just didn't do it for me. So I returned it. Other than that, in my life, it's the biggest one would be cables. Other than that would be buying monster cables. And I've bought plenty of them back in the day, 20 something years ago. And you heard me talk about it last year on the Thanksgiving podcast that it's guys like, AV Rant and the HT guys that have kind of changed the market. It's podcasts like that have made the cable companies be honest, because they used to tell us that these are the best and these will improve your system and these will do this. And you have no way of knowing. So you thought, or I did anyways, the more money you spent, the better off you are. And that's what I did. And I spent lots of money on cables only to come to find out. It's like, yeah, no, that doesn't make sense. But that comes with experience too. But anyways, Francis says his was having Atmos speakers. He goes, I wasn't that impressed after all that effort until I heard A Quiet Place, the Power Rangers movie. Yeah, I know, not a great movie, he says. And Hans Zimmer live in Prague, and my faith was somewhat restored. But Oro 3D beats Atmos hands down. And I was very excited about Atmos as well. I was not disappointed in it. I think it depends on your system. It depends on how well tuned it is. And it depends on the software. It depends on the movie that you're putting in, the content. And there are different movies that have, better, like A Quiet Place. I haven't seen the Power Rangers movie, but A Quiet Place has great overhead stuff. And there's other ones. And it's funny when people, it's always hard for me to say, like, what's my favorite Atmos movie? Because I like the entire thing. And I don't just focus on the overhead. And I think a lot of people, that's when you think of Atmos or object-based, they think of just the overheads, when it's actually, those are meant for a better immersion and a better sense of environment. And sometimes, yes, it'll be discrete overhead, and that is fantastic, but that's not what Atmos is about. And I got that when I started with it, and I was like, okay, of course, everybody wants to hear the rain pitter-pattering on the roof and all those scenes that you got. And I was an early adopter of Atmos and I didn't regret it, but what I like is it gives you a better sense of the environment. It's easier to manipulate the sound around your room. I want more speakers. I've, got 11 channels running right now and I want even more. I want to have those I want to be able to manipulate the sound even more. So we'll see. Hopefully in the future, I will be able to do that. He goes on to say, he says, listening to your latest Tuesday podcast, Thanks for the mention. You're welcome, Francis. As always, no need to thank me. You do not know the impact you have. Keep on smiling and God bless. And I said to him, I was like, thanks, Francis. I said, the sentiment absolutely goes both ways. And I said, thanks for everything. Because, and you'll hear me talk about that this week with Tom. And I, this week's guest, Tom and I are going to, Tom Andre from AV Rant is going to be the guest on this week's show on Friday. And we talk about The Crow. But one, and of course, it's Tom and I. So we sit down and we just start talking about everything. And one of the things that we talked about was the listeners, because I think we had recorded this shortly after Francis sent this tweet to me. And I was just like, you know what? Let's talk about the listeners for a little bit. And it does. It goes both ways. And I understand as a listener of other podcasts what it means for you guys to hear that, you know, me talk about you guys and hear me mention your comments and stuff like, I get that. And because I love it when I hear it on other podcasts, but for you guys that don't have podcasts, that you, it's so overwhelming getting your comment, getting the appreciation back. And when you first sit down to do a podcast like this, like especially this where I'm by myself, you have no idea. I'm just sitting down talking to nobody, just like I am right now. I'm just sitting here talking to nobody, but I know eventually you'll hear it. So I do feel like I'm talking to you now, but the first time I sat down, you don't know. Who knows? Who wants to listen to me? Nobody else ever wanted to listen to me talk home theater. So I figured I'd try and just throw it out to anybody and look at the listenership I end up with. So you guys don't know how much that means to me, to us, to podcasters, until you have a podcast. And I'm not trying to say anything. I'm just saying it's like until you have a podcast and you start getting the feedback, it is an amazing rush. It really is. And it never, ever goes away. And it's, you don't get numb to it. You don't, like Francis saying this, you don't go, oh, here's another guy telling me he likes listening to me. It never, ever feels that way. Because every day you doubt. Every day, at least I do. Every day you doubt. Like, do they still like it? Do I need to freshen things up? Do I need to do this? And and that's what drives me. It drives me to be better at what I'm doing. And but then you get the comments, and I never take them for granted. So thank you. Thank you very much for everybody and all your comments. Always, whether it's a question, critique, whatever. As long as you're interested, I'm happy. And his last comment in the DM was, life 4K Blu-ray on an OLED is something to behold. It's good you said you don't want to watch it on one. No matter how good your projector is, comparing them might ruin it for you. But on the other hand, big screen size can't be beat. And on that one there, we will have more information on that coming very, very soon. All right. Theo, Dune is epic, recommended for you. And I was like, yep, I'm looking forward to it. And you are correct, Theo. Dune is epic. Absolutely, absolutely love that movie. Blown away. Can't wait to see it again, to be honest. I can't wait to see it in my theater. I can't wait. I really do want to get to an IMAX and see it. And I'm hoping the Blu-ray, you know, the 4K Blu-ray has the variable aspect ratio. Hopefully we get all of that. Okay. Dan, one of my listeners actually hired Jim to come out, Jim Doolittle, my projector calibrator, come out and calibrate his TVs. And Jim, Dan sent me a DM telling me Jim was here today before he went to such and such. That's coming later. He goes, the TV looked great before, but now looked good before, but now it looks great. Thanks again. And awesome. I'm very excited that everything worked out for Dan. He lives very close to me. Hopefully we can hook up for some wings someday, like he said earlier. But yeah, I love it when people get their TV calibrated for the first time, because when you don't realize how good it can get. And I know TVs today, they're getting really good out of the box. They're very, very close. But there's certain things, and it's just something sitting down with somebody, coming into your house and telling you, okay, we're going to set this up for your room. And I've talked with Jim since he did Dan's, and he loved Dan's theater. I won't give anything away about it because people are private. I'm not sure about if Dan wants that. I'm not even sure Dan wants me to tell him about this. But anyways, he told me he has a great theater, great, I mean, very great, really nice environment. Dan has set himself up really, really well. And Jim went in and he had a blast going through his TV. I think he did two TVs for him, not just his home theater TV. But his home theater, he said, really, really nice. And now with that TV tuned to that room, it's, you just know, that's what I like about it, is you just know that you now have the best possible picture. There's not even a question. So that's peace of mind right there. And next up, Martin Anderson, commenting on my upgrade fever comment from a couple of weeks ago in the car stereos. He says, haha, the problem is with car audio, there's not that much new tech all of the time. He said, I was a car audio nut too. But home theater stuff is a much wider and deeper rabbit hole to dive into. And yeah, it is, of course, because it's constantly, it's never ending with a home theater. It really isn't, because once you think you get to a place and now you can, all right, I'm going to build a room. I built a theater in my living room, but now I want it in a room. And now that I'm in a room, I want seats. And now that I have seats, I have home theater seats, I want, you know, better subwoofers, and now I want to do that, and there's that. You're right. In a car, it's, you have a car radio, and it's an enclosed environment. And there's one last piece too, but there's only so much you can do nowadays. Back in the day when I did it, it was adding amplifiers, adding subwoofers, adding a disc changer. I had a 12 disc CD changer. Every time you hit a bump, the song would skip. But oh well, we're in a car. But yeah, there's only so much you can upgrade. And then the other thing is, what I found, you're in a car. The environment isn't conducive to good music. So you can add all of the best speakers in the world, and you can add all the best amplifiers in the world. You're still traveling down the road with wind noise and all this stuff, competing with your speakers and with everything else. I mean, unless you're buying this super expensive car that has great noise, you know, cancellation and noise, then you're not putting home, you're not the tech guy ripping apart that car. And it's car audio, you know, to me, once you get to a certain point, you're like, now what am I doing? Because other than making the car thump so the guy next to me at an intersection knows that I have a subwoofer, I mean, it's at that point, it's really not about the quality sound. WV Brew at Brightside HT, unbelievable deal for this player. No Dolby Vision, but has HDR optimizer. And he sent a link for the Panasonic, DPUB 420K, and that's the step down from the 820, which 820 has Dolby Vision, but for people with projectors, and we got comments on it. The first thing I said, perfect for no projector. I'm like, a few other people said that, well, perfect for people with a projector. But yes, that having that HDR optimizer is awesome. And I used my HDR optimizer on my Panasonic, and what it does is it takes that image, and in a layman's terms, in a car painter's terms, like myself, it makes sure that you're not crushing anything, and it'll take it and it'll squish it down so that a projector can play as much of the HDR as it possibly can without crushing anything. And how it does that is it probably eliminates some stuff, and it makes it a little bit simpler of a signal, because a projector can't do the HDR that, say, an OLED can. So you're still getting decent HDR. It's just optimized for a projector. Very important. So more on that later. All right. WV Brew also at Brightside HD. I'm putting this one here. We haven't even gotten to the comments on my last week's podcast about life. And he sent this out during the week after my other podcast. So he says, at Brightside HD, I just bought Life this week, blind buy. Watched it, liked it a lot. There was a rumor that it was an unofficial prequel to Venom. The studio says it isn't. Too bad, because it could be. It could be a very good prequel to Venom. And I thought that was a really interesting. I didn't even think of that, but seeing the movie, knowing the creature, knowing everything, you'd be like, that is kind of the story of Venom, and that would be kind of fun, but the studio says it isn't. But I thought that was a pretty interesting take on that. Steve George replied to that, Life is great, got punch of an ending. Great sci-fi sound coming from Theo. And it's, I thought that was a pretty cool take. Had a conversation with the Dasmanian Devil. He watched, after the Snyder Cut, he says, I went to find other director's cuts of superhero movies. And one of the, he saw Green Lantern director's cut. He thought that was a much better story than theatrical. Daredevil director's cut, also much better. And so I commented back to him. I said, I love Daredevil's director cut. It's because I think it's a, I love the director's cut. I love the story of it. It's a better story anyways, but it's a great home theater movie to me. I can't even remember if I've done it here. I might've done it in the early days of the podcast, but it's a great job by the sound designers, putting you in that Matt Murdock's head and using like, Daredevil uses sonar location, and that's what this movie's about. And it's like they use it throughout the movie, and it's so good. And it's just so much fun in your room, especially being up converted because it's not in Atmos or in DTSX, but it's being, I up convert it to my system, and it just sounds so good. Really, really nice. And it's pretty cheap now. On Amazon. I can't remember what it might have been, like $7 or $8, something ridiculous. But Dasmanian Devil's like, I'm like, if you can up convert, if you have the capability, he's like, go in shopping, as they said later. So, Jordan Carpenter, he's been putting out 31 Days of Horror. And on Thursday last week, the day before my podcast on Life drops, he puts out a tweet. He's like, one of his movie, and this is the second time this month this has happened. Which, I mean, it's bound to happen, you know. But he says, I personally find this to be an underrated modern horror classic. It's great performances, cinematography, special effects, soundtrack, creature design, and ending make this a film I highly recommend. And I was like, great minds think alike. Hashtag great minds think alike. That's my podcast dropping tomorrow. And so we had a conversation. Steve George really loved this film. The ending is awesome. Jordan replies, I appreciate they went with an ending like that, as that we don't see them often right now. And I don't want to talk about the ending because I don't want to ruin it for people, but it is, it's true. It's when you're watching it, even though I kind of figured it out before the ending, it is, it's unusual in this day and age. Steve George says it's certainly an unusual one. I liken it to The Mist, although that ending is horrific. And I said, it reminded me of Invasion of the Body Snatchers. And that ending there, I thought was very similar. If you know that movie, that's kind of what happens here, in a way. So not to give it away, but the really, really, really horrible ending to both of them. In a good way, in a horror movie way. 4K Collective says the ending of Invasion of Body Snatchers really upset me, was gutted. Such a film to leave me that way. The emotional buildup of the film did that through great storytelling. And he's absolutely right. It's the way they paced that movie, and it was the actual story. It's not necessarily like a jump scare or something, that it's just a horrible feeling. And I replied, I was like, I was about 10 years old and a babysitter let me stay up and watch Invasion of the Body Snatchers with her. And I'll never forget how scared I was, how horrified I was. And that's the best way to put it, because we had a conversation like, did you sleep? And I'm like, it wasn't a lose sleep type thing. It was a like, I was horrified, like not scared, just like, oh my God, that could happen. What if that happened? You just stays with you and you think about it for weeks. And I said it wasn't until Storm of the Century in 99, Stephen King's Storm of the Century, which was a TV event. It was like a 3-night event. And that ending was horrifying to me. It just stayed with me to this day. It had to wear off, Storm of the Century ending. And if you don't know the ending to that, watch that movie. And I'll just say that in 99, my son was 2 years old. And we were expecting my daughter at the time. She was born in 99. And in that movie, it was the ending is about giving up your child. And they did. So I guess I kind of just spoiled it, but that's what they voted. And I was like, how could anybody do that? I was horrified, still horrified to this day. You never do that. I'm like, I would, I'd chop off my own head before I gave up my kids. So anyways, that's how I felt. And I love when a movie does that. It sticks with you. That's great. That's great storytelling. But it was horrifying. It bothered me for weeks and weeks, and it had to wear off. All right, moving on. McKaylin Tuttle, at Brightside HT, been listening for a while and love the podcast. I just picked up a PS5, so I'm excited to actually start using physical 4K. I'm curious if you know about and ever tell people about Gamefly. They have a huge amount of 4K disc rentals they send to your door for cheap. And then Rob H. replied, neat. I didn't know Gamefly did movie discs as well as games. Not that I get to use them in Canada. And he said, rent4k.com is the UHD disc by mail service I'm most familiar with, although he can't use them in Canada either. But there's two for everybody. I did not know Gamefly did that. I haven't told people, but I'm actually thinking of going on and trying to rent a couple just to see how the service is. Few years ago when 4K first came out, that's what I wanted to do because 4K discs are expensive and sometimes it's not worth buying it, but you still want to see the movie in the best possible light, best possible way. So rental is a good way to do it. Where I'm at right now with the podcast, I've just been like Amazon, click, buy. So I will try them out though. Sounds like a good idea. And I think the last time I looked at Rent 4K, they were just starting up and they didn't have a lot of choices. But I'll definitely check out Gamefly. Sounds good. All right, moving along. Justin Van Camp, talking about Underworld box set coming out. I put out a tweet. I just ordered mine because HD Report put out a thing saying they're dropping on Tuesday. So I clicked the link. I bought mine on Amazon and it's showing up. Should be showing up today, Tuesday. So because today is Tuesday. Really looking forward to that. I already have Underworld in 4K and I have the last world one in 4K. I can't remember the name off the top of my head, but all the ones in the middle I have in regular and I actually have one of them in 3D as well, which was a pretty good 3D movie. But to have that nice box set, to have all the movies in 4K is awesome. And that's what Justin got his on Sunday, I believe this was. Sunday, he got his box set. So that's awesome. And he says it comes in a nice box. Each movie is in individual cases and slipcovers and has Atmos. Yes, it does. I've seen Underworld, the first movie I've seen in Atmos. I have that one. And it is. It's a really good, especially that opening scene when she's going down the tunnel and she's in the sewer area, the train area. And all the noises, I think it's the sewer when she jumps down there and the noise circling your room. And when I say circling, I'm saying like not around you, but up and over you, like a barrel. The noise going that way, the sounds going that way in your room. Really, really cool. But then Justin offered to send me pictures. He's like, you want me to send you pictures? I was like, I can wait. I was like, I didn't want to put him to too much trouble. Justin, post them if you like to, because then it's advertisement for the movie. And that's how we support our movies, right, Carl? We purchase them and then we give a vote that we want more like this. Just like when we purchase a movie ticket. I'm just going to keep digging on Carl. He's my buddy. BJ Horton says, at Brightside HD. Hey, DJ, I know you don't focus on the tech, but I wondered if you could do a short review, compare video about your new projector versus the old one, and possibly any other displays. And possibly any other displays you have experience with. It sounds like you enjoy your Sony projector very much. All right, here we go. Let's just get into it. All right, projectors, displays. I will go through the history of my podcast, of my theater. And this one came in yesterday while I was sitting down. Jim was in my house recalibrating my projector and installing a Lumagen Pro Radiance Pro 4K video processor. And what that has done is it's, for all intents and purposes, it was a bigger jump than when I went from 1080p to 4K. My image has improved that much. But let's talk about my system and the images that I have seen up until then. So my theater that I started with, in this theater here, when I built the house in 2001, we moved in December. December 5th, I think we moved in. On December 6th, I had the theater mapped out. By the Super Bowl in January, the theater was built, done, and installed. Everything was installed. And what I had done is I put a 65-inch Mitsubishi rear projection TV built into the wall. So it looked like a flat screen back in 2001, when flat screens at the time, to get a 65-inch, you were paying over $80,000 for a plasma. And it might have been $100,000 for a 65-inch. I saw 55 inches. I saw one that was $70,000, and then you had your tuner was separate from it at the time. So a 65 inch on the wall, that was and that cost me $3,500 for that rear projection TV. Had Jim come out. That's the first time I met Jim. I had him come out to tune that. After that, a few years later, probably like 4 years later, I wanted to upgrade to a projector. And I had done my own research. I hadn't talked to anybody else. I did my own internet research, and I bought a decent Epson projector and a daylight screen, 16x9, 104-inch 16x9 screen, with a perforated screen, because I wanted my speakers behind it, just like at the movie theater. Because when you go to the movie theater and you look at the screen up close, you could see the perforations in it. That's what I wanted. Then I had Jim come out and calibrate that. And as Jim and I were saying yesterday, that's kind of where we became like friends, because we started discussing back and forth. I started learning more about projectors. Every projector after that has been a recommendation from him on what he could do with it. My projector after the Epson a few years later was a Panasonic. I don't remember the model number. These are usually projectors that are like, Jim's trying to save me money, because I didn't have a lot of money to put into getting your high-end image. But what he would do is he would find a projector that would be like, this does this really well, and I can tune it to get you the best possible image that you can afford. And it would be comparable to a projector maybe twice as much money. Okay, so that was the Panasonic. After that, I had a Vivitech H5085, and that one there, that was my first 1080p projector, because the Panasonic before that was 720. The Vivitech was a 1080p projector, and it had really nice black levels. It had in it, this one here, if you read any of the reviews, it's exactly what I just said. Like, out of the box, this thing wasn't very good. But if you paid the money, if you got somebody to calibrate it to your room, it would rival almost any projector, maybe twice the money. And it was that good. It was really good. And I'd been to other houses with really, really nice home theaters, and they had this running, and that's how Jim sold me on it. He's like, come check it out here. Come check it out. I saw it at his place running, and I saw it at another place where they were installing, and it was really, really nice. After that, Jim said the next upgrade that I needed was to get the Stewart film screen that I have, the 110-inch screen, but he wanted me to get rid of the perforated screen. He wanted me to get the don't do acoustically transparent. He is that particular about it, and so am I. And I asked him about that yesterday. I'm like, with all the new technology that's coming out with acoustically transparent screens, how do you feel about it? And he's like, he's still against them. He's like, there's no reason to do it. You can put your speakers underneath or to the side, and any perforation will, you know, degrade your picture ever so slightly. But when we're getting into HDR and you're getting into 4K, your pixels might be the size of a perforation. Once you get into 8K, why would you want that light going through? It's a compromise. I get it. I loved my perforated screen. I loved it. But yeah, I'm going to go with that advice. Doesn't mean that everybody has to. Sometimes it's necessary, but it is a compromise. And he's like, why would you want to compromise if you can design around without getting the compromise? So that's why I went with the Stewart screen. And then eventually when the Sony 295 4K projector became available, it went on sale. Thank you to the HT guys, because I was at work listening to them on a Friday, and they said, hey, it went on sale on Amazon. Boom, I grabbed it, and I got it for, I think it was like $4,200 at the time. And I was like, all right, grab that. I was very excited to do that. And I upgrade, and that's the one that Jim had been saying. He wanted me to do the Sony. I kept asking him about the JVCs. Why not the JVCs? Everybody's telling me the black levels of this, the black levels of that. And he has his reasons. I agree with his reasons. I also agree that the JVCs are fantastic projectors. I have yet to see a JVC in its natural environment. I've seen them in stores. I've seen them displayed at not in a home. Let's just put it that way. So I do understand that, but at the same time, from what I've seen, and I have an opportunity to see a JVC in its natural environment. I have a listener slash friend, but he lives kind of far away, so I have to get there. But I would love to compare the JVC. I actually would love to get a JVC in here and have it come in and tune it and do an AB with my Sony and see how much does it sell me? Does it do, what does it do? I hear the black levels are great. My black levels on my Sony are really, really good. So that brings me to the latest upgrade, and that's adding the Lumigen Radiance Pro. I was able to get a deal on a 4242. I have it running directly front. It's just a single. I'm running a single in and single out. So it's coming out of my Denon receiver and going and doing all of the processing and going directly into my projector. Now, before that, running anything through a disc, it looked great because my Panasonic 820 was doing all of the processing, the HDR processing. It was taking the HDR, optimizing it for a projector. And then the projector would get it and say, and then the projector would do the HDR processing. What the Lumigen does is it takes all of that and does it like on steroids, is the best way I can put it. Because at the end of the day, you set your projector so that it's not running, it's not doing any of the processing. It's already been done. And the image that I've got now, I do want to, and this gets back to a comment earlier, I do want to get an OLED. I've already told my wife I want to get an OLED for the living room. We've needed a new TV for a while up there. And I said I was sketchy on getting an OLED. I have a 55-inch in my living room. That's all that can fit in the corner. So I think if I can do a 55-inch OLED up there, I will be very happy. I am not afraid anymore. I watched Dune on this with the Radiance Pro. I'm not saying my image is as good and is the black levels are going to be the same as an OLED. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is I've seen OLEDs, again, not in a natural environment, but I've seen OLEDs. I am not missing anything anymore. The details are all there. The Lumigen is taking this and putting it on a 110-inch screen now. So the advantages that you get out of an OLED, I feel like I am getting. I cannot wait to be able to see an OLED in its natural environment and do an AB. But what this Lumigen is doing for me right now, and it's an in-place, it's a very simple, not simple. It's doing its job and it's doing it very, very well. And so here's an example. And it's one thing with physical media. So going from the 820, the Panasonic 820 doing a disc to the Lumigen was a pretty big upgrade. That's big enough. But going from the Apple TV with no HDR processing in place for a projector, I was crushing blacks like crazy. So the show Foundation, for instance, that is what really got me going on the Lumigen, was because I was crushing blacks. I loved how good that show looked in the brighter scenes. It looked so nice on Apple TV Plus. But when they'd get to a dark scene, the darker parts of the screen were being crushed really bad. Jim installed the Lumigen. He's got his test discs. We watched the test discs. Jim's blown away. He had just done Dan's, and he's like, this is a 110-inch screen, and it looks like Dan's television display, because that's what the Lumigen does. It gives you everything, but it puts it in a way that a projector can handle the entire HDR gamut. Okay. We watched all the discs that he knows, and I love listening to him do that in all these different, we did Star Trek Into the Darkness, for one, opening scene from that. And he loves putting that in after he calibrates a 4K HDR display. He raved about that. And then he goes, now put on something that you know. And I was like, okay. And I know Star Trek Into the Darkness. I put on a scene from Foundation. And I was very excited watching the physical media, the discs. But when I put on Foundation, he looked at me and he goes, are you going to be all right? And I was like, I am literally going to get emotional. This is absolutely amazing. There was a scene where there was a character, I should have timestamped it, but there's a character on the screen and she's in a dark hallway. And when I watched it before, it looked like a dark hallway, and everything around her was crushing black. And now I can see like the patterns on the walls. I can see that there's another door behind her that's even darker. I can see further down. There's detail there that I didn't get before. And I'm like, I feel like a farce because I've been saying how good my projector looked before, and it did. And that's what Jim said. He goes, it looked great before. I'm like, yeah, but what word do I use now? And he's like, this is it. Here's the question I asked after this, after adding the Lumigen. I said, what projector do I get next year? I want to upgrade. And he says, you don't. He told me, this is my projector guy. He's telling me that my 295 with a Radiance Pro on it, for me to upgrade, it's outside of what I can afford. He goes, you're going to use this for a few years, and there's new technology coming that maybe we won't need projectors. And of course, we're talking panels on walls. He goes, when that price comes down, maybe. He calibrates all kinds of projectors. He calibrates all kinds of displays. I trust this guy. He's always trying to save me money, but he's always trying to get me the best image. And for him to say, and this is not a commercial for anything. This is my experience. That's what the question was. It happens to come up. It literally came up while I was sitting with Jim and I laughed. And I was like, what are the odds? But that's what we have. And now that I've seen the light, it's so funny. Now that I've seen this, it's amazing to me. And I can't wait to see an OLED. I can't wait to get an OLED in my house. It's going to be a little while because I just bought a Lumigen and they're not cheap, but what I can see there, and I know the JVC does tone mapping, but it doesn't do tone mapping to the level that the Lumigen does. It does great tone mapping. And my thing is, I was trying to say, like, trying to get Jim, like, he's like, it does. It's just not the same. It's not as good. The details aren't the same. But I have other people tell me, but the black level in a JVC is going to be better. Because I'm trying to get a JVC. Trying to get Jim to, and he's like, no. And he keeps telling me that you're a lens, you're this. And his thing, like, and this is my thing, and that's why I get along so well with Jim, is because I just want exactly what the studio is trying to give me. And that's the way my system is set up. No tweaks, no, I just want the pure image that the studio is trying to display. And that's what my displays have always been towards. That's what that's all I care about. And I just want to know that I have the best possible that I can afford. It's not the best possible in the world. It's the best possible for me. And that's where I'm at. And all the different displays I've had, again, going way back before this theater when I had a 32 inch and I learned how to calibrate on my own and learned about, you know, the Simpty bars and all of that. I just want to have, I want to know that I have exactly what they intended. And when you have that, like having your system calibrated like Dan did, now you know it's easier for you to tell when there's flaws and when there's issues with a piece, whether it doesn't look as good on streaming, because I know my system is set up to maximize everything. And when whether it's sound or picture, when I put in a disc, I hear the difference in the sound right away. I can hear the difference. And then I can see the difference. And now it's even closer with this Lumigen. It's getting very close, but both things went up like rising tides. So my disc images went up. I would say my streaming images went up more, but they didn't catch the disc images. And watching Dune, last thing I'll say on this, one of the things I said to my son, there was really no slow times in Dune because there's always conversation and you're having fun. You're just absorbed into the movie. It's fantastic. But a few times I'm sitting there looking at the image on the screen and I looked at my son and I went, what would we have done if we watched this like over the weekend before I had the Lumigen? Because I can see the scenes that would have been crushed. And we would have enjoyed the movie, would have absolutely loved it. But now I don't ever want to go back. It is absolutely amazing. And I'm not, like I said, I'm not trying to sell that product. I'm trying to say, like, I get it. I get that OLED draw. But now to be able to have OLED look and have, or close to an OLED, but have 110 inches, man, it's, I can't beat it. I'm very excited. So in answer to your question, it's not a compare video about my projector versus the old one, but that's a review of it all. And it's not very short, but I thought it would. The other part about compare videos, and I've talked about this with other people I wanted to try to do one, but I have a personal small issue with compare videos. When I do my videos for the movies and I put in the screenshots, those are just more of, because it's a video format and I want you to be able to see like the particular scene, but I don't do a lot of compare videos because you never know what's on the other side. You never know, where are you watching this? Are you putting this on your phone? You might not see, I mean, your phone could be all blown out or you could be watching it on TV. It's like for me to say, like, check out this HDR image, compare it to the SDR image and be like, you don't know the image, the phone that's, or the display that's showing you that image might not be able to show you the difference. So I really don't get into a lot of that stuff. I like to see a lot of, if you want to compare stuff, that's my podcast. Like when I tell you like A, B this or do that, do it on your own system. Because like when I had that, my system done yesterday, recalibrated and everything, I went to all of my normal scenes. The ones that I know. Jim can play a bunch, and I like to hear Jim talk about the scenes that he knows. But then for me, it's like, I'm like Dune, for instance. I don't know how good that would have looked. I can't compare anything because now I've only seen it on this existing system. But the opening scene from Star Wars or Terminator or Terminator 2, that is, or Endgame, I'm sorry, Infinity War, the opening scene from Infinity War, or the opening scene from the Avengers movie. And there's another HDR scene in the Avengers movie that's very, very difficult for any display. And to jump to these that I've been progressing with over the years, sometimes more than 30 years, like in the case of Star Wars and T2, seeing these scenes over and over to compare for yourself, that's the best way to do it. And that's how I basically came up with this podcast too, talking about the scenes that we love to see. And it, for me to tell you, it's like, I want to give you guys ideas on what to do with your system and how to have fun with it and look at different scenes. That's what it's about. So me putting out a compare video, like that's not really, I don't agree with that because every time I never know what display is on the other side. I'm not sure if you're going to see what I'm seeing. It's better for me. I love doing this part where I tell you, hey, check this out. And if you like it, you don't like it. But then we talk about it on Tuesdays like this. And this is going to be a long podcast. All right. We got some emails to get to here. And then we'll get to, we got a couple of emails. And then we'll get to comments from Life last week. All right. Moving right along. Time's up, G. Cornell. He's been quizzing me. He's been stumping me on couple of products that he's buying for his new theater. And he bought I don't want to give everything away because it's kind of personal, but he's like, his fall shopping list, he's like, you didn't guess in a timely manner, you lose. I'm like, I guessed a few times, but I might have missed the image. I might have missed a few emails because they kind of get lost in all the emails I get. Not just from home theater. I get other things too. He's getting a Parasound preamp, really nice system. And he's also getting some popcorn, the Great Northern popcorn. And honestly, G Cornell, literally just saw these two. I missed this part where I missed this email when I was sat down to put this podcast together. And I'm like, wait a minute, I haven't even seen this. So I clicked on the links you sent me. Awesome stuff. Popcorn looks really good. Popcorn looks a lot cheaper than the Parasound, that's for sure. But yeah, let me know how that is once you get it installed. Can't wait to hear. And also from Gurinder, he's like, hi, DJ. Thought you would get a chuckle from my under construction sign. So he put up caution area under construction. He's doing some work on his theater. And theaters are always under construction. And that's one of the things we've said on this podcast in the past. And that's what he's commenting on. Pretty funny because they are literally always under construction. I was literally, like I said, I'm literally having my system tweaked and upgraded. And in the same time I'm having that done, I'm asking the guy that's doing it, what's my next thing? What do I do next? How much money do I have to save for my next upgrade? And it's just funny. That's where we are. That's what we like to do. He says, also, we watched Black Widow last night. The kids and I enjoyed a pan near the end where an aircraft moved from the front to the right surround and then to the right surround back. We replayed the scene a few times. I tried to find the exact one to get the stamp for you, Gurinder. I couldn't find that exact one. I know the end of the movie. I know there's some great stuff in here. Great pans in this movie. Great sound in this movie. I saw this in the theater. I saw this at home shortly after the theater. Actually, I think I might have seen it at home first. And this was another one of those movies that just gives me the evidence that, yep, home theater is better. Sorry. But then my local Cineplex, which is supposed to be the deluxe best version with Atmos. But then getting it in 4K was even better. Even better, because streaming on Disney Plus was really nice, but in 4K disc is really nice disc. I'll be reviewing that one someday, but obviously it just came out, so not right now. But yeah, that if you can get a timestamp on that, I'd love to check it out and talk about it. That'd be great. All right, let's move along to Life. Comments from my podcast last week. At Brightside HD, I picked up Life 4K, but haven't watched it yet. Can't wait to get into it and circle back to today's podcast. And Carl also said another one that was good fun at the Laser IMAX way back. Well, it's not too far back, Carl. It was 2017. but yeah, it is a great one. I wish I could have seen that in the theater. I didn't even know about it, honestly. Then Steve George replying to Aaron Meyer saying it's a great movie. And as always, DJ broke it down brilliantly. Steve George going over the top as always with his compliments. Thank you very much. YouTube Theo commented another one going over the top. You guys are great. And I never, ever take these for granted. Love them all. Really appreciate it. Theo says, hello, DJ. This movie was so much fun. I would recommend it to anyone. I had forgotten this one. Guess what I will be watching tonight? Enjoy. This is a great show. DJ, you've done it again. This is why I like your show. Thank you, Theo. Really appreciate that. I love it. I mean, that's what you getting comments like that on YouTube are great, because then people will see them and then they're like, hey, what is this? They might not like it. That's fine. It's not for everybody. I've said that in the past. Most people in my life have their eyes glaze over when I start talking like this. That's why I love everybody so I love you guys so much. I can't see your eyes glaze over. Edward Angel commented on my video. He says, I bought it a couple of years ago, put it on the shelf, and forgot about it. When I finally got around to watching it a couple of months ago, I was pleasantly surprised. Great flick. And that seems to be the prevailing comment on this movie, is that it just went unnoticed. And it's like, I bought it and forgot about it, or I didn't even hear about this. And this, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to do this movie this year in Halloween, of my October horror movies, is because one, I didn't even know it was a horror movie, to be honest with you. I was flipping through some genres over the summer looking for movies, and I had already bought this one. As I said in the podcast, a listener had recommended it, and I was like, okay, I clicked it and bought it. I hadn't seen it yet. Again, like Edward here, sat on my shelf. And then I saw it and it said it was a horror movie. And I'm like, it's a horror movie? I was like, huh, that's weird. I thought it looks like a sci-fi movie. It doesn't look like any kind of a horror movie. And then when you get into it, I was just like, oh, I have to do this in October. This thing is just insane. It's so, so good. And it's probably not as good as I'm saying it and as people think, but it is. Compared to the notoriety it gets, you're like, really? What happened? Because it is that good that it should be getting a lot more notoriety, especially being a Ryan Reynolds film. And it's billed as a Ryan Reynolds film. And, you know, good Ryan, you know, I won't give anything away, but Jake Gyllenhaal, you know, Ferguson, who's in Dune as well. Rebecca Ferguson, she was great. The whole movie, the cast, everything is a great movie. But it's all the comments, they all have that caveat, like, I forgot about this, or I didn't even know about this, or whatever. And that's why I wanted to do the podcast. So hopefully, you know, it reached out to enough people that, hey, gave it a little bit of a shout out for a little bit. So, all right, that will do it for this week's Takeover Tuesday. Thank you for the questions. Thank you for the comments. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting me on Patreon, everybody. Thank you for following me on Twitter and on YouTube. Really appreciate it. As I said earlier, I will be back on Friday. Tom Andre and I, Tom from AV Rant, will be chatting away. We go almost 2 hours. We talk The Crow for about 10 minutes. No, I'm just kidding. We talk The Crow. Here's a little sad story. We all know, everybody has heard about Alec Baldwin and the shooting on the set. That literally happened while Tom and I were recording. And I didn't know what happened until the next morning. Tom and I recorded last Thursday night. And the next morning I get up to find out, and we recorded late on a Thursday. We record late on Thursday night. I didn't get to bed till about 2. I get up in the next morning about 7 o'clock and I look, and I texted Tom and I was like, did you see this? I was like, are you kidding me? Cause we had just been talking about it, and we don't go a lot into the, you know, Brandon Lee shooting in our podcast this week, because it's been done so much and we all know the story. We touch on it briefly because it is the elephant in the room for the movie The Crow. But now, I mean, we didn't touch on it because it is so common. It is so much common knowledge. But here we are, you know, almost 30 years later, and it's happened again. And there are some protocols in place that maybe that's what happened. It's sad, really sad when this happens. And it's, but honestly, to me, and that, you know, I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often. With all of the action movies we see, all of the gunplay that we see, I think it's pretty amazing that it's like one every 30 years or so. I'm not saying that's a good thing, but think of how much gunplay is on movie sets, and to have it happen in a 30-year span, 27-year span, they're doing something right. And that's no consolation to, you know, the poor cinematographer that lost her life, but it's really, really sad. So that's not what I'm here to talk about, but I just thought I'd comment on that. And it was really eerie and weird to wake up on Friday morning and having just been talking about The Crow the night before, and this is happening all over again. So, all right. Thank you guys for listening. Have a great week, everybody. We will obviously be back on Friday with Tom Andre. Can't wait. Until then, everybody, get into your theaters and go push play, because that's where I'm headed. Have a great week. Thank you all for listening. Really appreciate it. Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production, with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.